about products that we think are underrated, movies, comics, TV shows, what have you. But before we get there, let's introduce our panel of raters. We have Trent.
Oh.
We have Ashley.
Just want to make it clear that I am an accidental rater here. I don't do it on purpose. I just want to wear my Leonard Skinner shirt.
And we have Nicholas.
I can't see it, but I'm rubbing my boobs while I dance.
Okay. Anyhow,
the music that I'm listening to while we record is the Tron Legacy score.
Awesome. Awesome.
But that song is not from the Tron Legacy score.
No, that score, that song is called Cha-Cha La-La.
It would be even better if Daft Punk did a cover of it.
Yes!
So yeah, we're trying not to get distracted this episode, and we're off to a great start.
It's biodigital jazz, man.
But yeah, so we're going to talk about products that we think are underrated, and everybody got to pick two, and we're just going to go around the table-ish, and everybody gets to say theirs and share it in their thoughts on it. We're going to base the table on my screen, which means Trent first, followed by Nicholas, followed by Ashley, then me, and then we'll do it again.
Oh, so we're going to go in a round.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Trent, you want to kick us off?
Sure. So the first thing that I think is underrated in the sense that a lot of people probably don't know about it, but I think they should. It's a movie, and it's called Wrist Cutters. And I don't know if any of you guys have heard about it or not.
Yes.
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I should see it as well, but I have heard of it.
All right. So it's an independent film. And it's
a European independent film, and it's probably the biggest surprise I think I've ever had when I worked at a video store. When I first bought it, it was in a bargain bin for 99 cents. It came out in 2006. It was a really interesting film. The concept basically is the main character is distraught over breaking up with his girlfriend. And decides to end it all by cutting his wrists, hence the name Wrist Cutter. Unfortunately, he discovers that there's no real ending, only a really crappy version of afterlife. So in this movie, the life after death is the exact same thing as life as we know it now, except everything is grayer. There's no color, really. And there's just garbage everywhere. It's life as it is now, except slightly shittier. So there was no real reward for ending it. And no one can smile. That's the one hitch of the movie, right? And he's dropped in a random part of this afterlife, and he eventually finds camaraderie in a whole bunch of random people who have all committed suicide in really random and weird ways, which is kind of quirky. And then he actually finds out that the girl that he ended his life over had also offed herself. So he sets out on a road trip with a Russian rocker friend to find her. And their journey takes them through a really absurd version of purgatory, where they discover that being dead doesn't mean you have to stop living, right? So it's a really cool movie, and it's actually a romantic comedy. Because
that's not what I would have gotten.
I know. It sounds so dark and dismal, but outside of the fact that all the dialogue and situations have a really quirky kind of humor, the female love interest, which isn't actually the girl who offed herself, spoilers, she ends up in this world, and she's wandering around. She doesn't understand why she's there, because she didn't commit suicide. She overdosed on something. And our main character and her kind of fall in love in a weird, we can't smile and we're surrounded by garbage kind of way. So... It's a really weird movie, and I don't think a lot of people have heard about it, but it's really, really good, and it has a charming spin to the dark comedy. So that's the thing I would love to recommend to people. If you can find it online, I'm sure it's available on pretty much every streaming service. You can probably find it in a used video store for really cheap, like I did. Again, the movie's title is Wrist Cutters, and it stars no one you know. It stars no one you know, but it's
Okay. Nick-ish?
See, I was really tempted to go with a band, but the problem with any band is that once you get to a certain point, they have where people outside of their area have heard of them. It's they're not kind of really underrated so much as just people haven't heard of them yet. So I am not going with the band. Instead, I'm going with the film. The film, written by my favorite screener, Charlie Kaufman, and directed by Charlie Kaufman as well. It's called Synecdoche, New York, which it's a crazy fucking movie. it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman. What's that?
We seem to like crazy fucking movies.
you have no idea. Like, you know, people are used to him being weird. You know, if you've seen Being John Malkovich or Adaptation or Eternal Sunshine, where people say, like, oh, Charlie Kaufman, it's going to be, you know, really, really, it's a thinker. It's a thinker. You have to think there's going to be weird time shifts. There's going to be weird reality shifts. Stuff's going to happen that people, you know, you have to see it twice to realize what's going on or something. Synecdoche. There you go. It's an actual word. It's supposed to be a play on Schenectady as well. But it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman as a playwright who gets a MacArthur Genius Grant to put on a play. So for his play, he chooses to recreate life. He's not like Frankenstein make life, but he takes, like, you know, he assigns people roles and says, okay, you're this person and you're this person, this person, and here's how you go about your day. And they build like a smaller version of New York City in a giant warehouse. And he has people just conduct their lives throughout this warehouse. There's no audience. There's no theater per se. He's just having them, he's giving these people roles in their life and telling, here, live out this role. And then he gets the idea, wait a minute, we can't have this because this isn't true. This isn't real life. What we need to do is build a bigger warehouse around this warehouse and then have that warehouse represent this one in the bigger one. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Meanwhile, all his life is falling apart around him. There's a person playing him, so he has to cast someone as himself. And then someone playing his secretary, who is in love with him. And then the person who's playing him falls in love with the real secretary, and it's fucking crazy. Also around the edges of this whole story, the world's ending.
Oh.
This as always.
Sounds like a biography of Andy Warhol.
Oh, God, it's so good, though. It's so strange. Here you go. Synecdoche, the literal definition is the figure of speech in which a term for a part of something is used to refer to the whole of something, or vice versa. Hence the title of the film, where you have a small version of New York inside a small version of New York inside a small version of New York inside a larger version of New York, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a crazy movie, and it's awesome. There's a whole bunch of people, you know, and it's like Charlie Kaufman written direct. Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it. Samantha Morton, Michelle Williams, Catherine Keener's in it. A whole bunch of people. And there's this amazing monologue towards the end, which I don't want to quote it exactly because it's pretty long, but it's just so fucking good. It ends with, well, fuck everybody. Amen.
Okay, so just to kind of recap the first two, we had one about people who commit suicide falling out of in purgatory, and the other one about somebody recreating life as the world's ending.
That is the simplest explanation that doesn't explain anything about the movie.
It doesn't, but I'm just hoping that we get out of the morbid territory with Ashley, so... Very, I'm going to regret this episode. So.
No, I will pull us out of morbid territory because mine is, it's a book. It's a young adult novel by an author by the name of Cecil Castellucci. Who,
I thought you were going to say Stephanie Myers.
Fuck you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now I should be morbid, you fuck. No, it's Cecil Castellucci, who also did two comics for DC's short-lived Minx line. Those comics are also really good. Just really anything by her. Pick it up. But it is a book called Beige, and it is about this very preppy Canadian girl that has to go live with her father in L.A. for a summer. And her father is a former drummer for a punk rock band. that is reforming. And she ends up having to live in L.A. with him in the summer, and they've been estranged, and there's a whole thing where she has no real love for him, and then she ends up having to spend the summer with one of his bandmates' daughters, who is in her own punk rock band, and gives her this nickname Beige because she's so boring. And it's a lot about sort of, you know, finding yourself, becoming your own person. And one of the things that I love about Castellucci and a lot of her stuff is that so many YA novels at this point for girls, no matter what else happens, she has to get the boy. There's always something about, you know, nothing is resolved until she gets the boy, even if it doesn't fit into the storyline anywhere else. And the focus in a lot of her work, it's more important to have a good relationship with yourself and with who you are and with your family and with the other people in your life than to land the hot boyfriend in the end. And it's a good alternative. Read all of her stuff, but especially read Beige.
Okay. I am going to switch it up a bit and go to video games because that's what I do. Damn it, I wouldn't mean to quote Mark Henry there, but...
that's what I do!
But yeah, it's a game. I know it's not... It's a game that kind of gets ripped on from people who hate it, and it's beloved by people who enjoy it. I don't know if any of you are huge into Mass Effect, but that's not my underrated
game. Not really underrated.
But I was going to say Alpha Protocol, which is kind of like Mass Effect in the, you know, the way the dialogue choices are set up to play out throughout the course of your story, but it's more of a spy adventure game, and I think it does dialogue.
I don't understand why you like it, Earl.
Well, yeah, I'm huge into spy, so I'm completely biased in that regard, but I also think that it does choices much better than a lot of games do, because a lot of games, and I think Mass Effect is guilty of this as well, is that you basically have a good choice and a bad choice. You're a good guy or you're a bad guy. And it just, I mean, that's really basically all the choices fall down to. Like, Mass Effect has the Paragon and Renegade system for a reason.
Yep.
Where Alpha Protocol does it differently, where you're given four choices instead of two, and it's dependent on the character. So some characters respond to you being an ass. Some characters respond to you being, you know, kind of flirty, and some of them just kind of respond to you being a badass. So it's not like you have one correct way to explore this game. It's like, dependent on the character, you kind of have to get a feedback for how they are and how they react to how you react to kind of continue the conversation. So,
like Dragon Age?
I haven't played Dragon Age, and I've heard such bad things about 2.
Screw 2. You need to play Origins. Origins is awesome.
Origins is good. I can vouch for what you're saying, Earl. I thought Alpha Protocol was a good game from a story perspective, in terms of how things played out and your different choices. The only problem I had with that game in particular was the combat, because it's a third-person perspective. It's like a third-person shooter, kind of like Mass Effect. But the hits of your weapons are predicated upon dice rolls. So
what?
you could be up close to someone and have the reticle aimed directly at their head and just be holding a shotgun.
Oh.
And you could still have a miss.
Oh, I think there's... I'm not going to say that the game is flawless. I think that if they had the chance to do a sequel, it would have been a fantastic franchise. But I actually do think that the foundation that they built in that game was solid. And I think, especially being that you can find it for like $10 now, but I do think it's one of those games that I think kind of falls under the radar, because I think it does choice. I think it does, you know, not just choice, but actually how it plays out. And I think it does it better than Mass Effect and other games, again, with choices, because it kind of gives you an idea of what your choice, how your choices played out. At the end of a mission, it tells you, like, you did this and this, and, you know, so this guy will become an ally. But more importantly, when that stuff does play out, and it does eventually play out later on in the game, it tells you, like, how your decision earlier in the game affected what happened in a certain mission.
So it's not the Penny Arcade send a kitten to college situation.
Because, you know, there are games where you kind of have this quote-unquote choice, but everything you do kind of plays out in the same way no matter what. And I just think that, you know, it's one of those games. I think people have kind of – because, again, like Trent says, it's not a technical masterpiece. It does have its fish. And apparently when it came out, I played this game about 2 years after it released, so it was patched to hell. But apparently when it first came out, it was kind of buggy as hell, and some of the stuff didn't work. But I don't know that experience, and I assume most people who buy it now won't. But, you know, for what it is and for the price you can get it on now, it's a really solid, really underrated Western RPG. And I know it's probably not going to happen, but my dream would be if they used that engine on an Archer game, because I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And we're back to Trent.
Cool. So if I were to recommend another thing, and it's going to be another film, so don't hate me for not adding variety. But this film is different. I'm a big fan of exploitation films and snuff films and that sort of thing. It sounds really awful when I say things like that. But movies like Caligula or The Black Six or blaxploitation films, like, I don't know what it is about really crummy B movies from like the 70s and 80s, but they have a weird kind of charm to it. And one of the people on the internet who happens to share my love of this kind of genre is Brad Jones, who is known to most people as the cinema snob online. And his videos have always been really successful in terms of the type of reviews that he does, but he's also a filmmaker, and a lot of people don't know that about him. And you can watch all of his films online for free, and he has one film, and it's called Cheap, and it is my favorite of his films, and it's probably one of my favorite independent films, actually. And the concept of Cheap is you have a failed porn director who decides to make a real snuff film. And for those of you who don't know what a snuff film is, it's a film that incorporates violence and blood and sadomasochism and that sort of thing as a central part of the storyline. And in this case...
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. I always thought a snuff film was a movie where someone gets killed in it, in reality. Like they film someone being literally murdered.
Well,
that's what I've always heard snuff films are called.
Well, that's the joke. I mean, everyone says that there's no such thing as a real snuff film because no one ever dies on film. In this film, several people die, and of course, being a failed porn director, he chooses to take two individuals whose lives are kind of ruined and start killing off people and distributing it, and it's extremely popular. People love watching it, but they watch it and they don't even know that these snuff films are real. So it has a really dark premise to it. And there's no redeemable characters. There's not a single character in this film that has any really decent qualities to them. They're all pretty much awful individuals. But the way it is cut, the weird music that accompanies all the scenes, the black comedy kind of dialogue, and the fact that you can watch it for free, like right now even, it's a great film. So if you can, go out and check out Cheap by Brad Jones, and you can probably find it on blip.tv.
We're learning so much about Trent today. Very disturbed kid, apparently.
I like films, but I like unorthodox stuff, you know what I mean? I feel like I do enough reviews of mainstream movies that if I watch something for my own purposes, I like it to be different.
I can't really complain. At least my difference bad. Your different is at least different. Nicholas?
I really should have prepared better, because now I blanked.
This is why I asked if you fucked me the time.
Introduce me to a band, Nick.
The problem is everything I can think of, I'm like, was that underrated? No, that's exactly rated. Like, I want to say Community, but no, Community is rated exactly as good as it is. Or, you know...
It's just underwatched.
Yeah, it's underseen. It's different than underrated. Sleeping? Sleeping is underrated.
What is Sleeping?
The good old days.
I could give you, like, any number of movies, but I don't want to do another movie. Oh, you know what? Book. Here you go. And, you know, Ashley probably knows exactly what book I'm going to talk about now, because I always talk about this whenever people want me to talk about something they should do. You should read The Rorschach Texts.
Yes. Yes,
by
you
Stephen
should.
Hall. It is his a British writer. It's his first novel. It came out, 2007, I think. He's been working on his second for a while. He also did some work on Crisis 3, one that just came out recently?
I don't know.
The video game.
Yeah.
And he's done some Doctor Who stuff. He's done some Doctor Who, like, audiobooks and things like that. Lost my train of thought again. Anyway, so it's an amazing book. It's if you've heard of the book House of Leaves, it's kind of similar to that, except not similar to that at all. It's about a guy who wakes up with no memory of who he is. And I don't mean like in the amnesiac, like who am I? But I mean like he doesn't remember anything. He has to remember how to breathe. And that he wakes up in a house, which is his. And he has there's all this stuff that's like his, but he doesn't recognize any of it. And then book goes from there till it ends up being about a fish made of ideas and the space underneath things in which you can live and theoretical physics and things of that nature. And
identity
words.
Identity and how we surround ourselves with it.
Yes. And words and ideas and how ideas can become reality when you're not looking at them. Memory and identity and all stuff. It's such an amazing, like, I can't do it justice. I can't describe it without ruining everything about it. But, really should read it. It's by Stephen Hall. It's called The Raw Shark Texts. So, yeah, definitely look into that.
Ashy?
Your dog agrees.
My dog's weird.
Put it on by 101 Dogs. And my dog's bite. Oh, gosh.
Just to add what Nick said, there was this band, I think, that used a passage from Rorschach text on their album in a spoken word piece.
Oh, Jesus. See, I wasn't going to say anything.
I'm still bitter that I didn't get my version to you quick enough.
Yeah.
I wanted in on that shit.
Shame, but that's what ended up happening.
It's a huge fucking shame.
How have you become invisible.com? There you go. That's a band, Trent.
The problem is, I don't know if this is underrated or if it's just like something I want people to pay attention to because it's awesome.
That's okay.
There is a documentary. It is about someone who we have discussed at length on this podcast, the writer Grant Morrison. It's called Talking with Gods.
Ooh, good call.
And it is it's a documentary about him, and it goes into basically an experience that he talks about in the film, and he's talked about at length, and he also talks about in his book Super Gods, where he experienced an alien abduction. And it sounds very weird to say. And one of the things I love is he kind of treats it like, yeah, I know it sounds weird, but it happened. And it talks a lot about his interest in ceremonial and chaos magic. And there's some interviews with some absolutely fantastic creators. Also, Jeff Johns, I think, is in there.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I want people to watch and experience and read his book as well, because there is sort of this weird idea surrounding magic and belief and anything Morrison has written about it or anytime he has talked about it. He puts it in such great words. There's an essay of his called Pop Magic that you should read if you want to understand anything that he has talked about with this. So basically just go out and find out shit about Grant Morrison and magic and be awesome.
Yes.
Talking with God.
Seconded.
Documentary.
Seconded, yes.
That brings us to me again. And this is kind of outdated, and I was reminded of it because Trent was tweeting about it earlier this week. But Undergrads,
I love Undergrads.
Early 2000 MTV cartoon series, which I absolutely loved. You know, it's because college is always so iffy to do on TV because a lot of the stuff they can get away with, they can't get away with a lot of stuff people actually do in college. So they kind of stay away from drugs and alcohol and random sex and, you know, stuff that people do outside of the classroom.
Well, they don't steer away from it. I don't think they dwell on it long.
Well, no, not this show. I'm talking about in general when people go to college and TV shows, they tend to be more tame.
Oh yeah.
And there are a few shows that do it well. I think What's It Called also did it pretty well. And this one came out around the same time, Undeclared.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is kind of, it's a fun little show, and you have like the four, I think, kind of different archetypes of college students. You kind of have like the nerdy shut-in. You have the kind of like the guy who wants to experience college to the fullest, who does everything. He wants to be in a fraternity. He wants to get hazed. He wants to, you know, he wants to get drunk and hook up with random chicks. You have the guy who doesn't try but ends up getting everything his way. And then you just kind of have that guy who's along for the ride. He doesn't really know where he fits in. And, of course, he's the main character. And it's just a fun dynamic, some interesting characters. You know, they tackle some – I don't want to say serious issues, but they do tackle – you know, like everybody in college takes up a cause for some random reason.
Yeah.
like there's an episode where he takes up – what is it, financial aid? When he doesn't get his financial aid check on time, they have like this huge like gathering with Good Charlotte comes to support them.
Yep.
Which
they also did the theme song.
They also did, which is why they showed up. But that, and I think that nowadays, are they still a thing?
Good Charlotte,
they are still together, and as of a few years ago, they were on the Bamboozle Road Show the last year it happened. That was the show that got rained out in Pittsburgh and led to me hearing LMFAO Acoustic.
Oh, I dislike that band so much. I dislike LMFAO, but I also dislike Good Charlotte. I don't like them at all.
Well, their equipment apparently got ruined, and then apparently one of the two Madden brothers was backstage storming around referring to the city as Schittsburg because it was totally our fault there was a torrential downpour.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
you do control the weather.
Next storm.
Just because you have a weather dominator, actually, you lord it over all the other cities. Or should I say Cobra Commander?
Look, other people could have had a weather dominator. It was on eBay. I clicked buy it now.
But
I hate you right now, people. I keep trying to bid on things when they're cheap.
Well, you should have bid on my fucking weather manipulator.
I guess.
Dominator. You're dominating the weather.
I'm manipulating. Don't tell me what I'm doing to the weather. Which one of us has the weather thing?
No, it doesn't even have a name.
Earl,
do you
want to
do
one
more Barry.
Round? Yeah, we can go one more round.
Oh, really?
One more round. I'm putting you guys on the spot. I want to know as much cool stuff as possible.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I've heard that more than once. So the next thing that I'm going to put on the table is a book called Soul Pancake. And it's actually written in part by Rainn Wilson, who people would know as Dwight from The Office.
Yes.
And I call it a book, but I add the big caveat that it's more like a workbook than it is a novel of sorts. So if you go through the pages, and there's just over 200 of them, every single page on there is colorfully designed with beautiful artwork, and there is about three questions on each page that you have to ask yourself, and then you write in your answers directly into the book. So I have the book right in front of me. So just flipping to a random page, one of the questions is, what drains your soul? What recharges it? Another one is, how do thoughts affect your reality? Or let's see here. They're all kind of awesome, actually, going through this. What do you find to calm you in a chaotic world? And just the last time I did this would have been about a year and a half ago. And just looking back at my responses, I can see how much I've changed in that time. And I actually credit this book as part of the reason why I've changed. A lot of the questions in it, I never asked myself, and I didn't really understand how I stood on a lot of issues or a lot of beliefs until I put it to paper. So that's kind of cool in itself, but it's also kind of interesting to see how you transform over time too. So if you see it in a store, I think you should probably buy it just for the pretty pictures alone. But it's called Soul Pancake, and it's by Rainn Wilson.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have their answer since you put them on the spot?
Yeah,
I kind of do.
I see. You can go first, actually. I think a little bit.
Do you, Earl?
No. I just kind of wing everything at this point. So.
And it's kind of Trent made me think of it, and it's actually something I haven't really thought of or done since college. But it's a game called Morton's List. It is the real life RPG wherein you pick a table master and you roll to find your quest, but the quests are like things you have to go out and do in real life. And the times that we played the first time was we had to go somewhere public and do disturbing things, and it led to us nearly getting thrown out of a Target.
What did you do at the Target?
Well, one, we got in trouble for taking pictures in the Target.
Did you get in trouble for that?
We got in trouble for that. They asked us to stop taking pictures in the Target.
Broke a dog bowl after wearing it on my head.
you don't automatically go to Nazi Germany because then.
I'm just saying, it's like it seems kind of fascist to tell people not to.
Yeah, because a lot of people go to stores and they check with their smartphones to kind of price compare.
Yeah, see, this was before that. This was like pre-smartphone. This was like 2002.
But still, you would still like take a picture to kind of price match and go to the supermarket or something?
Apparently, this particular Target was not cool with that at the time. They were also probably not happy that at one point I was face down in the lingerie section at Target laughing so hard that I thought I was going to pee myself.
Like you do.
I did almost break a dog bowl when I was wearing it on my head. But then the other time that we played it, we had to have a tournament, a physical combat tournament, and we had to use things within my friend's apartment to create weapons, and my asshole boyfriend at the time got kicked in the nuts. Awesome. Yeah, Morton's List, and apparently now there's an app that you can download for free. It's only like 13% of the quests, and I mean there are like hundreds of quests in the actual book you can buy. And it requires you to do things like beat people with a dustpan and sneak past fans.
Wait, fans as in the objects or the people?
Fans is in, like, the rotating breeze blower.
Okay.
Because I sneak past fans all the time. They just don't realize they're fans. But they
those aren't
fail.
Fans, they're cops. I told you that time.
I don't
time
sneak past them. They say, go right ahead, sir. You're doing nothing wrong. Missy, thank you, officer. Have a pleasant evening.
And then you kill people.
You're not supposed to know about that.
You're not supposed to know about Barry the weather thing.
The weather dominator?
Barry does whatever he wants with the weather, damn it.
What about other Barry?
Other Barry?
No other Barry. We don't talk about that.
He's a backup.
Is it a weather dominator, Barry? Yes, it is, other Barry. I'm done.
All right.
Okay, there is.
See, there's so many things. It's like, again, you run into the stuff where it's what's overrated versus exactly where it's rated versus underrated, whatever. Like, again, the reason I can't say bands is because a lot of the bands I like that might be stuff people haven't heard of are broken up, so what's the point? It's like, hey, come check out this band that put out one album and then, you know, fucked off into the night.
Sometimes that one album is good enough to justify people checking them out, though.
Okay, I'm going to list three things then. And then I'm going to talk about one. Here's three bands you guys, if you haven't heard of them, check out. Jest to Brazil, who are my favorite band, and only put out three albums. They're amazing. You should check out. We were promised Jetpacks for a Scottish band that had put out.
I love their name.
Oh, they're so good, though. Put out a couple albums. They're kind of into, they're more recent. They're still around. They put out like a kind of noisy pop rock punk. It's kind of punkish. It's not punk, though. I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. But it's really, really good. It's very emotionally affecting at times as well. And then there's this band called it's called Robots and Race Cars. Though. Have you heard of this awesome band called David Bowie?
I have not.
Wait, didn't he just release a new album?
Yes, he did. It's really good. No, there's this band. It's actually an artist. It's not a band. It's called, her name's Allison Weiss. She has an album coming out in a couple weeks, or a week now, actually, which I did a review of for the Stabcast, which is really good. She's on tour right now. She's really good, though. Look her up, Allison Weiss, Weiss. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about was a stand-up comedian, an actor, who I guarantee you've seen him, but you probably have never seen his stand-up. His name's Dylan Morin. He was in Shaun of the Dead. He was on the BBC show from years ago called Black Books, which is hysterical. You need to look up his stand-up. It's very, like, he generally what it is he goes on stage, he's smoking a cigarette, he's got wine. He seems like he's drunk because he's very Irish. And he just kind of rambles on and on about how everybody is terrible. And it's amazingly funny. It's like Eddie Izzard, but without the structure. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's so good. If you've ever seen Black Books, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like, he's essentially playing himself in that show, except maybe a little bit more misanthropic. But you should definitely look up the show Black Books. That's on Netflix as well. And it's basically him and, I forget the other guy's name now. Bill Bailey.
So what you're telling, so you've just recommended four things.
Five things, actually.
Nice. But,
well, hey, you already broke the rules and you decided to go back around the table, so everybody's playing with a new set of cards.
But yeah, look him up. I don't know if you can find his stuff online. Like, you might have to go through certain means, I guess, to find it.
Through certain means.
Yeah, his name's Dylan Morin.
Bag.
It would be Moran, but Dylan Morin. It's really, really funny. But look him up. Enjoy.
You didn't mention Girl and Girl 2 among your underrated band list.
I'm only considering bands that have actually put out albums.
Fuck you, Kanye never got back to us.
That's by not mentioning this other band that I know someone involved in, which is called Lipstick Terratron.
That's awesome.
Lipstick Terratron has yet to actually write a song, but they're a band.
I have an album coming out. Called Sex Panther.
Oh!
66% of the time it works every time?
No. Actually, the album art was created before that movie was popular. And we still have yet to write a single song.
I'm just going to throw out, I bet you someone's beating you to that name now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I announced today that I have to start a band so we can record an album called All Your Friends Are Replicants.
Oh.
I like that name.
Do you not want your friends to be replicants?
Replicants!
Aren't bad people. Well, I mean, they aren't
people. Well, they are in the sense that they're not people, Earl.
They just want more life. They see things you wouldn't believe.
You never
You're
know.
All replicants.
Shores of Orion.
You're all replicants on the inside.
All those memories lost to time. Like tears and rain. Time to die. That's from Blade Runner.
Look, admit it. Y'all have
a movie I've never seen.
Oh my god.
You have a unicorn dream, whichever means you're a replicant. I don't fucking know.
I actually don't even have a third right now. Like I said, I'm always very iffy on saying something that's underrated.
Is there anything that you're really into that you don't think that a lot of people have played, even if they're aware of it?
I'm sure there are stuff. I mean, there's movies I've seen I'm sure a lot of people aren't into, and it's, you know, but it's like, Like, even if that's the case, it's like, do I have it enough to say, you know, you really have to go out and like, see this or go out and play this or whatever. And I was trying to think of a book because, you know, I do read from time to time. It's an odd habit. Even that I can't keep. Like, a lot of the stuff I read is stuff I pick up at, and this sounds bad, is stuff I pick up at the airport. It is the best time for me to find. You know, you get 2 hours to waste. Speaking, I mean, I guess to kind of go back to games real quick, and this is kind of ancient game, and it's probably not that easy to find, but actually somebody thought the game was so good that they actually gave away a copy on Twitter, actually, and I ended up winning it. It's called Star Tropics, and it's one of Nintendo's earlier games.
I remember that game. That game was awesome.
It's kind of a homage to, not a homage to Indiana Jones, but it's kind of like that whole treasure hunting aspect. I believe his uncle's actually Dr. Jones. But not, what is Indy's first name?
Indy was the dog's name.
Yeah, what's his real name? Anyhow, it's kind of a mixture of like Zelda's open world with some grid-based puzzle platform and elements, and your main weapon's a yo-yo, which is awesome. I believe it's on the Virtual Console. I have the Nintendo version, so I honestly have no idea.
Console, what's that? Is that something Xbox is doing now?
Virtual Console is the name of Nintendo's...
Nintendo? I don't recognize this. Is this some sort of video game thing?
Yes. But is there anything else you folks want to recommend before we begin to wrap?
You should check out How I Became Invisible in Robots and Race Cars.
You should check out all the new articles on the site.
Yes.
You should check out the version of Len Steal My Sunshine that has the spoken word intro about butter tarts.
What? That exists?
Yes!
I want it now!
You should check out the Fandango themes on Cha-Cha-La-La.
I was going to recommend it, Fandango theme. Oh, before I forget, even though it has been up on the site today, and this will be out 2 days afterwards, unlike the nerd vote, we actually did finish the Nerd Madness. Surprising nobody, Batman ended up winning.
here's an underrated thing for you.
He ended up beating Deadpool, who I really thought got far in that tournament, especially against some of his competition.
I think he gamed the system. He was probably cheating.
I was still surprised he beat Wonder Woman in the first round. But yeah, that happened. so yeah, and
Deadpool
also
pulls out a bikini top much better than Wonder Woman does.
Also, because of that, and this was happenstance. It's just, you know, it worked out this way. But since, you know, we're also going to bring back Batman Versus, which is a feature that we had earlier on the site, and we're going to do it a bit differently. I think Nicholas and Weshi are part of it right now. I don't know who else is, but...
Anybody who writes for the site is welcome to do one, I think.
Yeah, so...
Who already writes for the site, no solicitations.
But yeah, I mean, basically how it's working this time is instead of... It's going to be... I don't even know if it's going to kick off. We'll figure that out, but... I guess somebody writes about the Batman challenge, and I think the way I want it to work is they end that with offering a challenge to the next person to see who Batman's going to face in their article. just to see how creative people can get with how they're going to get him out of this situation. Check that out. It's also DMX April.
DMX April? What?
DMX April. I still have no idea why it's DMX April. But for the month of April,
what?
For 151 proof movies, we're watching films with DMX. I'm not going to say starring DMX, because the first film we watch is Die. And DMX is in two scenes in that entire movie, and one of them involves him dying. Our movie this week is Exit Wounds. And this is our second Steven Seagal movie, so I'm really excited for that.
Oh, I bet you are.
yeah. You can check out Trent's Ask a Dork. This week, question came to me, so that was kind of cool. And it's actually a really interesting question and a really interesting answer, so there's that. And there's also a bunch of comic reviews. I don't think I'm going to review it, but I'm going to... Batman 19 I just finished reading before this podcast started, and I got pissed off in the fact that they used 0 hour and 0 year in the actual comic. Like, somebody said that out loud, and I thought that was kind of cheesy and stupid, but we'll see if Snyder can make it work when he actually launches that Batman's origin, because we don't have enough Batman origins.
You know what I think is funny is I keep seeing, like, I don't really have to pay attention to comics anymore just because I can't afford to buy them, nor am I really interested in a lot of what's going on. But I keep seeing the DC titles, and they'll be like, why is everything on this? How did all these things get, like, synchronized? So every number 19 is coming out? And then, oh, right, New 52. And then I go about wanking off again.
I think that's actually kind of cool, but I think they've dropped the ball on New 52, which I think
that's the understatement of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a podcast for another day, though.
I got underrated for you. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, very underrated.
My, what is that? I've never heard of it.
Underrated Firefly.
We can talk more about that later on.
Overrated. Breathing.
we usually have our cable TV podcast sometime during.
Can we do an overrated episode where we just talk trash and things?
Yes.
I don't want
Isn't
to do that.
Every episode we do?
I'll just make my girlfriend very mad because I'll start talking trash on Big Bang Theory.
I was going to say my ace is basically going to be BioShock.
You're objectively wrong there, Earl.
See? This is why you're underrated. Anyhow, for Trent, Nikias, Ashy, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 130.
Do-do. Do 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 do.